The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
All right, and welcome to Between the Synapse. As the lady just said, I'm your host, Mark Tobin, and thanks for listening live or later. So I got some pretty good feedback from this If I Were Commissioner of All Sports show. People they liked some suggestions and some they thought were stupid or they had their own. So I figured I didn't get through my list. So, you know, why waste all that time that I spent putting it together? And I just said, well, you know, let's continue all the fun we had last week. So get ready for If I Were Commissioner of All Sports Part 2, and if you are just rearing to have your own sports rule changes, give the call a show, or give the show a call, probably easier that way, at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. If you want to check out If I Were Commissioner of Sports 1 or any other previous podcasts of Between the Synapse, you can do so by going to my blog at betweenthesynapse.com, where right there on the right-hand side, you can also subscribe with your name and or email, and you will get future notices. I guess all notices after today would be future, but nonetheless, you'll get notices of future shows just by putting your name and or email over on the right side of the page, and I'm sure you'll be delighted to receive those once a week or so. So, also, big news, very big news about the show. Next week, we will celebrate our one-year anniversary. That's one, as in one-year anniversary, and I figure I'll do something special to celebrate. Don't know what yet, but you should listen in, and that way you'll figure out what the surprise is. So please do that. We'll be celebrating 1 year of Between the Synapse on Voice America Radio Variety Channel. So I'm coming here to my office where I broadcast from beautiful Greenway Plaza in Houston, Texas, overlooking some buildings. And anyway, I'm in my neighborhood. And all right, well, look, I guess I probably should share a little history before for this story to make sense. A couple years ago, I was involved in an accident of sorts. I can't talk a lot about it because, you know, the settlement's confidential. But let's just say it involved me and a bicyclist. I was in my car, and to this day, I believe that I was in the right. Nonetheless, it was a pain in the rear. Go through all the rigmarole of getting the issue resolved. The bottom line is, bicyclists deserve, and the law demands, the respect of motorists. Just as if they're on the road and motorists have to follow and abide by the requisite laws, and as if the bicyclists were cars and so on and so forth, in order to protect the bicyclist safety. And that's fine. I understand that. I don't have a problem with that. it's the reverse that doesn't always seem to happen. And I'm not saying that all cars are spec, by the way. Bicycles, I see it all the time. And that's wrong. And bicyclists call out cars all the time for that. You know, you see it happen. But oftentimes, you know, bicyclists don't respect the road either. They don't stop when they're supposed to. They don't stop at stoplights or stop signs or whatever. And, you know, you can't have it both ways. You know, both parties need to abide by the requisite laws in order to ensure safety. So that's just a little bit of history. As I said, I talk more about my issue, but it is confidential. So I'm coming to my office to broadcast from beautiful Greenway Plaza, looking out over some buildings, and I have a clear intersection. No stop sign. Stop sign. I mean, an intersection I go through all the time. No stop sign. There's a two-way stop sign on the other way. And this guy on a bicycle, he just zooms through the stop sign. Doesn't even look. Doesn't think about stopping. Just zip, you know, right through it. And, you know, I had to, you know, pause on, you know, on my brakes in order to ensure that nothing happened. So I beeped just to say, hey, you know, you ran the stop sign. You didn't see me. And what does this guy do? He turns around and he shoots me the finger. Well, you know, given, as I said, this thing of a couple of years ago, I got a little angry. And, you know, I just yelled out, hey, you missed the stop sign. So this guy then comes back and he's like starts circling my car and goes, you know, stop sign, stop sign. And then he gets in front of me and then he runs another stop sign right in front of me. Anyway, this guy was just a complete douchebag. And I know he doesn't represent all cyclists. I know that, you know, the vast majority of cyclists do their best to, you know, operate within the bounds of the law. But, you know, this guy, he's not one of the good guys. So I don't know how close he lives to me, however. Hopefully it's not too close in my neighborhood. Anyway, that's my event for the morning. So if you've got any instances like that you'd like to share, you know, please call in. All right, I think we're supposed to get back to sports. That was my venting moment of the morning. Sports. All right. NBA is over. My team suffered a big loss last night. The San Antonio Spurs were on a roll. They went from the sixth seed all the way to the two seed overnight and then back to the sixth seed by losing to the Pels or the Pelicans, perhaps one of the worst named franchises in the history of sports. Nonetheless, they shot lights out. The Pelicans did in the first half, and Spurs tried to come back. They couldn't do it. So now they are the sixth seed with no home court advantage throughout the playoffs. And, you know, I think the Spurs still do okay. It's just going to be a little more challenging. They have a challenging team that they're going to have to play in order to get there. But I think if they play the way that they've been playing over the last 6 weeks, I think that they're as good or better than anybody. And you know, we'll see. Good for the NBA is recent stats that showed that attendance for the year is its greatest ever. They reached almost 22 million fans during the 2014-15 season. And apparently, I think of the almost 22 million, I think 20 million went to watch Phil Jackson's face as he watched his dismal Knicks perform on the court. That was certainly worth the price of admission. Anyway, good for the NBA. These playoffs, I think, are going to be terrific, particularly in the West, a little bit in the East. But we'll see. It's going to be fun stretch this weekend. All right. Now, back to if I were Commissioner of Sports. you know, last show, if you didn't have a chance to listen, we've already talked about college basketball, and we talked about Major League Baseball, and we were starting to talk about football. So why don't we pick up there, and then we can continue on. So by the way, there was a caller, and I'm sorry, I was looking at my other screen for a second. There was a Steve from New York who called, and the call got dropped. I don't know if that was on our side or whatnot, but anyway, Steve, if you have a chance to call back, we are awaiting your call, so please please call back. I'd love to hear from you. All right, football. Focusing on the NFL. I think I may have mentioned a couple things in the last show, but I'll just kind of start from the top. You know, look, first of all, you know, NFL is king, and the rule changes in football have made football what it is. If football were played by the same rules that it was in, you know, whatever, you know, 1912, 1930, you know, 1950, even, you know, 1985, even 1995, perhaps. Unclear if the popularity would be the same. There have been numerous changes that have allowed for greater offense, that have protected players, which have allowed for, you know, greater scoring, and that made the game, you know, higher scoring, more passing, much more exciting, and some would argue to a degree less physical. You know, that's I guess kind of arguable because the players are bigger and stronger, but there's less contact at certain points of the game, particularly with, you know, receivers and downfield. But I think no one would argue that that has not made the game more exciting to watch, and that is one of the reasons why the NFL is so popular. Nonetheless, there are some things that could be changed, could be tweaked, and the NFL, more than any other league, looks at their rules every year and considers more rule changes than anybody else. And so we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, I have a couple thoughts on those changes. So stick around. I'm Between the Synapses.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
There are over 140 million products manufactured worldwide. It is impossible to know the ingredients in these products, especially those made overseas. Stan Salat, creator of the HSF Mark and the Counterfeit Mark Alliance, is the host of People to People, working together for your safety. Stan believes in our right to know the type and amount of hazardous materials in consumer products and whether they are counterfeit. Find out how you can protect yourself every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety. Tune into the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Between the Synapse. You're listening to If I Were Commissioner of All Sports, Part 2. And thanks for listening. If you've got some thoughts on rule changes to any sport of any kind, ranging from the major sports to the most minor, give the show a call at 866-472-5788. By the way, I was talking to somebody during the week and talking about my show, and on college basketball, a person had a good point about the three-point line, did not talk about that last week, which is, I think it is a good idea to move the three-point line, which what this person suggested. I think the NBA is like 27 feet and college is right around 24-something. Probably 26 feet seems to be a good number to move the college line back to. It also open up the lane a little bit more and force the college folks to be better shooters, better prepare them for the pro game as well. It just seems that too many college kids, and I saw this a lot during the tournament, were taking three-point shots entirely, it seemed. I think by moving it out a bit, it would just improve the game and almost force teams to develop more complicated offenses than just, having guys throw it up all the time. And, I don't know, maybe there would be a few less buzzer beaters and things like that in the tournament, I suppose, by doing so. But I think that it would go a long way in improving the so-called state of the college game. So that's one point that we missed last week. So I wanted to get that in. By the way, before we do talk about football, there was a couple things in politics that happened this week. First of all, it's been all Hillary, pro, con, whatever. Hillary lied about her grandparents, immigration, or whatever. It's everybody has been saving their fodder for, 6 years since she last ran. They've been, doing their research on the internet, and they've been saving their pages, and finally they have the opportunity to unload. It's going to be like this for, the next 2 years, as Hillary is the presumed Democratic nominee. Clearly there are a lot of people who, let's just say, don't care for Hillary, just like they didn't care for her husband. Question is, what percentage? And my guess is there are still enough people that will vote for her, particularly depending upon how out there the Republican nominee is, that none of this stuff is going to matter in the long run. One article that I found interesting has to do with former Hewitt Packard chief executive Carly Fiona. She lost the governor's race for California to Jerry Brown. And I've spoken about Jerry Brown, 2-3 weeks ago on the show, mostly pointing out how when a person doesn't, runs at a later age, his doing, and you know, Californians can agree to disagree, but it seems from the view that I have that he's doing a far better job than he did in his first shot at the governor back in I guess it was the late 70s when he was using it as a stepping stone to run for president because he didn't have that ambition. Everything he did was calculated, you know, how's it going to look nationally? Just like all these guys who are governors now and have been governors, how they do the same thing. And it really impacts how they operate as a public servant when they can't always put the people in their state first. And that goes for people of either party. It just happens that it's much more an issue on the Republican side because Hillary has sort of locked up the Democratic nomination, and there aren't all the people that are considering running. Whereas on the Republican side, you know, there's so many people who were trying to put themselves in the position to run for president. So that's been a big issue by a number of Republican office holders. So now he's back, and you know, his only focus is on the state. Now, I don't know if people agree with everything he does, but I think that it's a pretty safe bet that, you know, he's not doing things because he's looking at the national optics. So I think when people do that, they are much better at their job than otherwise. As I said, former Hewlett Packard chief executive Carly Fiona, she lost to him in 2010 in a highly contested race, spent millions and millions of dollars on that race. And I can't remember how close it was, but Brown won. Actually, you know, I'm misspeaking. She ran for Senate, not for governor. So everything I just said about Brown, all very interesting. Completely irrelevant to this conversation. Anyway, she ran for Senate. So anyway, she lost an expensive Senate race. Anyway, she has not run for anything since. And I guess since then, she's just been kind of around. I don't know, she maybe wrote a book or goes on talk shows. And I'm not sure what she does exactly. But she has been considering running for the Republican presidential nominee in 2016. And she came out and said, well, you know, she would neutralize Democrat Hillary Clinton's argument that she would be the first woman president in the United States. Okay, I guess that's true. If you have women running for both parties, major parties, that whoever wins then will be the first woman president. I don't know if that is an argument that will carry the day in the Republican primary, but I guess the bigger point that I have is, and this is not a knock on people who are CEOs of you know, multi-billion dollar corporations. They're typically very talented people, very smart people, and people that can do a lot of good in a lot of different ways. However, it just seems that for somebody to go from being what she was, which is CEO of Hewlett Packard, to becoming president of the United States, that there needs to be a transitional position. And losing the race for California Senate is not like being the senator from California, or if she'd ran for governor or something, being a congressman, being a member of the cabinet, you know, anything. You look, there are great things about America. We can always dream big. And there's, you know, we never have barriers to what we think we can accomplish. And that's a good thing. However, I think we, as voters, have to recognize that, you know, you can't just go to being president. That we do want some level of of appropriate experience in who we elect to that office. And you know, maybe she should consider running for something or trying to get appointed to something. I don't know what, before she seeks the presidency. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying she's unqualified to be a future president. I'm not saying that she's unqualified to be the senator from California or anything like that. I'm just saying that she's missing some steps. I think that's become common in American politics at these high levels. And it was one of the reasons why I was supportive of Hillary in 08 and not Barack Obama, because he'd only been in the Senate for 2 years. And I think that one of his issues that he had particularly early on was his ability to deal with Congress, with regardless of what party was in power. And just chalk that up to inexperience. If he had been in the Senate for, you know, 6 years, 8 years, I think he would have had a much better perspective on how to do that. And now we've got on the Republican side a number of junior senators running, a number of guys with, you know, 2-4 years experience, a number of governors who've only been in office for a little while. So experience is important on either side, whether you're Democrat or Republican. And it is something that is often tied to, you know, this term limit argument, you know, because if you've been in office too long, then you've been co-opted by Washington, or you don't understand the people anymore. And certainly there is a fine line between people who have been in office so long that they have lost perspective. But there is something to say for people who understand how things work and how to get things done effectively, and using that experience to move up the ladder. And so we have some people who are very bright, very capable, who I think often put ambition a little ahead of their place in terms of understanding and experience. I think that is bad for the country. So that's all I will say on that, unless anybody would like to talk about it. All right. So back to football. Actually, well, I guess we just went through that segment. So before I get back to football, why don't we take one more break? And we'll be right back on Between the Sit-Ups.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join host Gary Ray as he shows what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Women can live their lives to the fullest and realize their dreams for growth and greatness. Georgine Summers knows. As host of On the Edge, Georgine will give you powerful tools and rules to help you change direction in your life and get rid of the fears that stop you from living your dreams. Stretch your boundaries and become the amazing person you've always wanted to be. On the Edge with Georgine Summers airs live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. Welcome back to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. This show is, if I were commissioner of sports, part dos, part two, continuation of last week's show, which I didn't really have a chance to finish the list. And so if you've got any proposed changes, please call me at 866-472-5788. Or if so inclined, you can tweet to Between T Synapse. That's Between T Synapse. By the way, this just in, the NFL has suspended Aaron Hernandez for the first four games of next season for his conviction of first-degree murder for the Patriots. He will be back in time for the fifth game. Just kidding, by the way. Just kidding. I did hear that the facility that he may be residing in for quite some time is very close to Gillette Stadium. I don't know if that is just a way of really amping up the punishment or just happenstance. Anyway, just a weird thing, this guy. I gotta think that he is on the sort of the line of being a psychopath, or you know, somewhere in that realm. There's something going on inside that man that obviously is not right, and it's a very sad case on many fronts. All right, so changes to the NFL. First thing is a change that I wouldn't make, and I don't know why this has been getting so much discussion, but that is the extra point. You know, I know it's boring. You know, it is something that, yeah, the kickers are so good now that it's automatic, and nobody wants to watch the extra point. You know, whatever. So what? I mean, there are certain parts of the game that are just, you don't need to mess with. I mean, it is, that is part of the game. And the one thing that I don't understand and hasn't really been discussed is, what about a two-point conversion? You know, do they talk about moving the extra point back to like the 15-yard line or a little further or something like that in order to make it a little bit more challenging? But number one, what do you do if you decide you want to go for two? Do you still go from the three? And I know this almost never happens, but what about a fake? You know, there always is the possibility of, you know, either a fake point after touchdown to go for two, or, you know, maybe there's a bad snap or something else happens and they have to improvise and then try to get in and score what would then be a two-point conversion. So by moving it back however many yards, you pretty much, you know, take that out of the options of the game. And that's what I don't understand, because it's, there is, you, albeit slight, a strategic element that is in play on the extra point. And I don't know, it's just been that way. Some things have just been that way for such a long time that, you know, I mean, it's like the touchdowns were 6 points. I mean, okay, so why don't we want to change how much a touchdown is worth? It just seems like that's just one part of the game. It's always been from the three that you just don't need to change. And my guess is if, you know, they want to start experimenting, they'll move it to here. It's just not worth it. That's just part of a game you shouldn't touch. So my first deal is, if I were commissioner of the NFL, is just tell them to stop it. Stop trying to mess with the extra point. Same with a kickoff. I understand the issues involved in the kickoff and the injuries that happen on a kickoff. Football without a kickoff, I mean, that's sort of like, Thanksgiving without the turkey, you know? You don't say, most people, sometimes, you know, for other sports, you'll say, okay, what time does the game start? You might say for basketball, or when's the first pitch? But more often than not, when you talk about football, you say, hey, when's kickoff? And you don't say, okay, when do they put the ball at the 20? I think by, you know, changing the point of where they kick off from, there are a lot more touchbacks anyway. And, okay, yeah, that may be a little boring, but at least it forces teams to have good kickers. And, I think in the last couple of years, I do think that the injuries on kickoffs has been down. Once again, that is just something that is so fundamental to the game of football. I can't imagine it being like we used to do, you know, in the backyard or whatever, which is, okay, take it on the 20, after somebody scores. It may come to that, but I would do everything I could to make sure that you still have kickoffs. And the kickoff return is one of the most exciting plays in sports. And, you know, you're always looking for it. And even though it doesn't happen very often, it's something that you want to watch because you never know when it could happen. So, first two things I would do are don't mess with the extra point or the kickoff. You know, once again, I would say to the owners, stop it. Just, you know, let's move on. Let's talk about some things that make sense. And one of the things I have never understood in the NFL is overtime. I've never liked the overtime rules where, you know, first team to score, wins. You know, even now, even though they've improved it, you know, as we saw in the, was it the championship game with Seattle, where they were able to score on their first possession, in overtime. It's a game that, you know, teams have played hard for, you know, 40, I'm sorry, for 60 minutes. I was thinking basketball. For 60 minutes, and they end up tied, to then, you know, kind of decided that quickly in this overtime. It just seems not, it seems very empty and fair. And I would rather see a time limit on overtime. It doesn't need to be a full quarter, even if it's 5 minutes, and then I guess, look, if a team keeps the ball for the full 5 minutes, then so be it. But you know, or maybe that, maybe it's 7 minutes, seven, you know, 7.5 minutes, half a quarter, something like that. I think is would be a better outcome, or at least do that in playoff games, where you know you're going to have one team advance. So you know, maybe in the regular season, you know, I'd be fine with, I guess, leaving it if that were the case. But in playoffs, I would definitely change it in a different way. I mean, I almost think, and even though I don't love it, that the way they do in college, you know, is fundamentally more fair, because everybody has the same opportunity to score and to stop the scoring. And so, you know, it's all from whatever, the 25-yard line, I guess, but it gets out of the sort of the regular means of playing football, but it at least is fair in terms of providing the opportunity of both teams. So that's what I don't think that the current NFL overtime process provides. The coin toss is, you know, can be way weighted in importance in determining the winner. And yes, look, ultimately, if teams on defense, they got to come and make plays. If you know, if it's the first possession, I recognize that. But in terms of, you know, just as I said, sort of fundamental fairness of you know, two teams battling for such a long time, and particularly of games that are meaningful, it seems like there's got to be a different way to do that. And I don't really understand the reluctance to even discuss kind of different options on overtime. I'm not sure what all the issues are involved with doing so. Now, this issue with the NFL, I guess, permeates all of football, and that is the play of the backup quarterback. How many times does the starting quarterback end up getting hurt, and the backup comes in, and they say, well, you know, the backup quarterback has not played at all this season, or he's only played, you know, 3 minutes and he's thrown one pass, you know, he spent the rest of the time handing off or something like that. This is something I don't understand that coaches don't do. I mean, first of all, I understand that the rhythm of a quarterback and being in a game is paramount. So in close games and in certain, you know, games of you know, major importance, I'm not suggesting that this happen. But I do suggest that coaches look for opportunities to provide their backup quarterbacks with real playing time during the regular season so that they are not completely, you know, unprepared for real season play when the time comes. And look, I understand every player needs to be ready at any time, but the quarterback is a different position because almost any other position, somebody can get in at least some playing time. Quarterback is just completely different. And I have a prime example of that I want to share with you, and who knows, it may have cost a national title. But I'll share with you that in just a minute, because we got to take one more break. So stick around on Between the Synapse.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus.
creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson, in The Sea Around Us, said,
"All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end."
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth.
Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Mark Tobin, and you're listening to Between the Synapse, the show based on my blog, BetweenTheSynapse.com, which I urge you to check out. And listen to previous podcasts of the show as well as other content. And if you desire, you can register over there on the side, and you'll receive notices of future shows. So this is If I Were Commissioner of Sports Part 2, and we're talking football, mostly NFL. Hey, so during the break, and we're going to get back to football in a second. So I'm just looking through the internet, and Politico has this article entitled "The Everyday People Who Made Hillary Clinton's Burrito Bowl." It is the people from Chipotle who waited on Hillary Clinton when she stopped at Chipotle to make her, I think she had a chicken burrito bowl. The fact that I know that how could I not know that? It was covered so heavily. So I'm not going to say that I'm like some sort of wonk because I didn't have to go very far to learn that. But she was in, and I'm going to mispronounce this, it's Maumee, Ohio. And it is a little bit of an article on all the people who were at Chipotle. There's a picture of, his name is Jeff with one F, Chayet, and he's the assistant general manager there, and he's looking pretty good. He's got a goatee, and what appears to be, I don't know if that's an earring or Play-Doh on one of his ears. I can't really tell from this picture, but it just kind of goes through all the people that waited on Hillary, including, let's see, we've got the 25-year-old who cooked the chicken that went into the burrito bowl, makes $8.20 an hour, and she splits rent with two roommates. The 29-year-old general manager used to work three jobs and is now thrilled to be able to have just this one. The young woman who was at the cash register was the only employee on duty at the time who thought she recognized her. She considered asking if anybody had ever told her she looked like Hillary Clinton, but she didn't. It was 1:20 p.m. at the tail end of peak time lunch rush. This is a quote. "I didn't see any blatantly obvious Secret Service guys," Dylan Digby, the cook, said. Tuesday at the Fast Casual storefront on Conant Street. Is anything easy to pronounce in this place? I was running around doing all kinds of manager stuff, said Jeff with 1F Chayette, 35, the assistant general manager. We were just trying to do our jobs, Charles Wright, the general manager. This wasn't a campaign stop, only a pit stop en route to Iowa, where scheduled events were waiting. The minimum federal wage is $7.25 an hour, so this article goes on to kind of use this as a wage discussion. And this town, oh, here's a little bit about the town. This town, a Rust Belt suburb of Toledo, population 14,000 or so. The mayor is Rich Carr with two R's, is probably about as much of a cross-section of the country as you can get. It exists because of the river to its east that gives it its name. The economic arc here is familiar and representative. You got the river, the town, then outside of town. You got some shipping, docks, some factories, distribution. The biggest employer used to be Ford. Now it's UPS, I guess because of the rivers, the docks, distribution centers. And Chipotle. Let's see, anything else of interest? Digby, the 25-year-old cook. For some reason, they felt the need to repeat this in the article. Digby, the 25-year-old who cooked the chicken that went into the Clinton Burrito Bowl, I feel like I'm at Passover Seder, Hot God Yah, grew up in West Toledo and worked for 4 years as a teller at Charter One Bank. Without getting promotion, he's excited. He's getting bumped up to kitchen manager at the end of the month. And Wright is the general manager. He's from Cleveland, went to the University of Toledo. He's single and has no kids. And he's available, people. So check him out on Politico, the everyday people who made Hillary Clinton's lunch. It was a chicken burrito bowl from Chipotle in the town of Maumee, Ohio, which is apparently outside of Toledo, Ohio. So check that out if you want to learn more about the people who run that Chipotle. That is very interesting. I can't wait to get more of that kind of reporting as we move closer to the 2016 election. Okay, so back to the NFL. Quarterback backups. Okay, so 2010, this would have been the BCS championship at the time. Texas is playing Alabama. Colt McCoy is in his senior year. He has been leading Texas almost all of those years and is the winningest quarterback in all of college football. He is hurt early on in that game and gets hit from kind of an awkward angle in the back as Texas was threatening to score. And apparently it some sort of stinger or something, and his throwing arm went numb. And so he is out for the game. They bring in the backup quarterback who had not played a down the entire season. Oh, and he's a freshman. Now, he was a highly recruited freshman, but, you know, he hadn't played at all. And so, you know, here's the thing. I mean, Mack Brown had opportunities to play him. There were games that Texas was leading comfortably. And had, you know, he put him in for a couple series in a row here and there. You know, not times where just to hand off, but where he'd gotten some real experience in some games that Texas, you know, had a comfortable lead, but it wasn't such a route that it would have been not correct to be throwing the ball. You know, that kid might have been able to get into the game much quicker than he did. He was able to later in the game, but it was too late. You know, that's replicated all the time. And so, you know, that's not a rule, but certainly some advice to coaches. We are out of time here on Between the Synapse. So I think that I'm going to put this topic away for now. There will be no If I Were Commissioner of All Sports 3, at least not in the near future. But if you do have any comments, go ahead and send them to me at Between T-Synapse on Twitter. Or you can also email me at, let's see, what is my email here is mbt@betweenthesynapse.com. mbt@betweenthesynapse.com. I want to thank my folks at Voice America Radio. I want to thank Brad, engineering the show in the back room, and my executive producer, Winston Price. Stick around next week. As I said, it'll be the one-year anniversary show for Between the Synapse. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.